Hey, this is Morgan Pratt with the JMAC for Congress campaign. If you're listening to this podcast, sounds like you like JMAC. You can find out more about him by going to his Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or YouTube channel. Please remember to subscribe and rate us. Now coming up, more JMAC.
Hello there and welcome into the JMAC podcast. So glad that you are with us for this very important message that I have for you today. It happens to be National Mental Health Awareness Day, and I wanted to take a few minutes and share with you my own journey with mental health. I just want to start off by talking to any of you who are skeptics. This is something that we've been talking about for years, and that's that we understand and we don't doubt that every other part of the body can have issues, that the heart can have a disease, or that you can be born with a condition where your heart doesn't work properly, or your lungs, or your legs, or any other part of the body. But for some reason, the idea that your brain can have an issue, like a chemical imbalance or something else, there is still such a stigma attached to this. And isn't the brain the most complicated part of our body? Doesn't it make sense that the brain can have issues? And this has been a journey for me. I will tell you, there was a time years ago when one of my children was trying to tell me that they were suffering, and they thought that they were suffering from depression. And me, in my ignorance, I looked at this child and I said, "You're not depressed. You just need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just learn to cope and deal with life." Now, I have since come to regret this decision for a couple of reasons. The first is that I had always told my children they could come to me and they could talk to me about anything and that I would listen. And in this case, I wasn't listening. I was just responding. And I was not recognizing or acknowledging the concerns of this particular child. Now, it turns out that this child was diagnosed with some pretty severe issues and managed to get treatment and is a thriving adult today as a result. The irony, the incredible irony of this is that it turns out that I have suffered from a form of mental health issues since day one of my life, and I didn't know it. And I never figured it out until just about 3 years ago. Here's how I figured it out. I went to a screening of a movie called Angst. This was at Harriman High School. And at that screening, they described a lot of the anxiety that students and kids may be feeling today. And they talked about a specific type of anxiety, social anxiety. And they described this situation where these students, these teenagers, were unable to approach people they didn't know. They were unable to walk into a room of crowded people for fear that people would look at them. They were unable to have difficult conversations with people, important difficult conversations with people. And as I sat there and watched this video, I was watching my own life play out before me on the screen. And it was a revelation to me. After that, I went and I sought treatment for severe social anxiety. Now, you may ask yourself the question, "JMAC, you're a talk show host. How can you possibly have social anxiety?" Well, when you're a talk show host, you're just in a square room and a microphone. You're not meeting people face to face. And I can tell you, in those times when the station would send me out, go out and act like a reporter and talk to this person and talk to that person, I was terrified. And I couldn't do it. And it made me think back on my life. And many of you know my background and my history, and you know that I had a pretty rough childhood. I came from a broken home where abandonment happened, and I dropped out of high school. I didn't finish college, and I was homeless on the streets for a while. And I looked back and I analyzed all of those circumstances, and I realized and identified the unexplained fear that I would have of walking into a classroom late behind everybody else. The unexplained fear that I would have of difficult conversations. The unexplained fear that I would have of just approaching a stranger for directions or even returning something. I'll tell you some of the, they seem so funny now and strange, but I have never returned anything in my life that I've purchased ever, because the idea of getting in a line with a bunch of strangers and explaining to somebody why I didn't like their product, I couldn't do it. It would petrify me. My chest would tighten up. I would start to shake. I would feel panic. My voice would start to crackle just to return something that didn't fit me or that didn't, I'm talking about something that I would buy and I would get home and it wouldn't work and I would not return it. And this is something that I've done my whole life. I'll give you some other examples. Most people run to an elevator to catch it. If I saw people were in the elevator, I would slow down to miss the elevator. If I'm in a bathroom, in a bathroom stall, instead of, if there were other people out there who were at a urinal or who were washing their hands, I'll sit there and wait until they're gone so that I can come out and be there alone while I wash my hands. And I would always use a stall instead of a urinal because I didn't want somebody to come in and have a stranger talking to me. And it revealed itself in other very, very strange ways. Now, the way it's been described to me as I've sought treatment is in my brain, there is a disconnect or a malfunction with the fight or flight chemicals that are released. You know, when your mind tells you that you're in danger and you're supposed to fear something. And so all these chemicals to make you aware and all these things start firing in your brain. Well, mind fire at times when they shouldn't fire and in excess when they should fire. So I'll give you another example. When I was in the pizza business, I worked for a large pizza chain, and every year we would do something called the Pizza Olympics. And what this was is each store would send their best and their brightest to the Pizza Olympics. And you'd have competitions to see who could cut and roll the dough the fastest, to see who could, take a pizza out of the oven, cut it and box it the fastest, who could ring up orders the fastest. It was really fun. And I always took pride in being the best. I wanted to be the best and the fastest at everything. So the time comes where I'm going to enter the competition to take a pizza out of the oven. It's called landing. Land the pizza, put it in a box, cut it, and close the box and have it ready for pickup. And I get in there, and the minute the stopwatch starts, I start shaking violently. And my heart just constricts. My chest got so tight. And I was shaking, and this is in front of a bunch of people. I was shaking so violently that I couldn't get the pan holder, the clipper thing that we put on the pan, I couldn't get it on the pan. And then when I finally got it on there, I was shaking so violently that the pizza almost fell onto the floor. And then I couldn't get it to cut straight because I was shaking so violently. Now, why on earth, in a situation so simple where I knew I was very confident in my abilities, I knew exactly what I was doing. There's no fight or flight going on. Why on earth would I be afraid in that moment to the point of shaking violently? I'll give you another example. There have been times in my life where I needed to have a difficult conversation with somebody. And I'm not talking about extreme difficulty. I'm just talking about a situation. Say I'm at work and my employer is asking me to do something. And all I need to do is tell them my opinion. And I know that my opinion is going to be a little bit contrary to their opinion. The moment that I start to speak, again, shaking violently, heart beating and pounding out of my chest, lungs tightening up, my voice would crackle to where I would lose my voice. And we're talking about simple situations here where I'm just expressing a contrary point of view. So imagine how bad this got for me when it was a difficult situation where emotions were going to get high. I can remember going to high school and I would walk to high school every day. And when I would get to high school, I would get this same shaking and this same fear about walking into a classroom. And it got so bad that I started looking for ways to not go to class. And I found one day that the door to the movie theater was, the theater, you know, where they do the plays. It wouldn't close all the way. It wouldn't latch. And that meant that I could get in there. And there was not a lot of people in there during the daytime. And so I would go in there, I would open this latch, and I would go in there, and I would go under the set of the play at the time. It was the You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown set, which was these huge toy blocks on the set. And I would just go under the set, and I would sleep all day long. And I realize now, and I didn't figure this out until a couple of years ago, that I was hiding from those circumstances that created this severe anxiety. Eventually, when nobody came to me and said, hey, you're flunking out of high school, my parents never said anything. And so I'm like, why am I even walking to school? It was over a mile walk. I'm like, why am I walking to school? And so instead of making that walk, I would leave my front door. I would go around the corner of the house and go in the garage door. I would climb up into the rafters of the garage where I made a makeshift bed, and I would sleep there all day long to avoid contact with people. And I realized over the course of my life that there are so many times and circumstances where I've gotten into considerable difficulty with payments on things, with agreements that I had made with people, with expectations that I had committed to, that all involved me talking to people or doing something, and I wasn't able to do it. And I thought I was normal. I thought my brain was working just fine. It never once occurred to me that I had this issue. But let me explain to you for a minute how life-changing it has been to A, recognize that my brain does this, B, recognize when my brain is doing this, what are the symptoms, and how to deal with it. It really changes things when you know they're going to happen. And so you can practice breathing techniques, mindfulness or meditation is something that can help as you picture yourself in these circumstances and you win. But also, please, I know a lot of you out there are very skeptical about the medications that are available. My life has been changed. I'm running for Congress. My wife tells me every day, she's like, I can't believe you're out there shaking hands and introducing yourself to strangers on a regular basis now. She's like, I can't believe it. You have never done this in your entire life. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't have been able to do it. There's no way on earth I would be able to do it without finally figuring out what my brain does in those circumstances. The moral of this entire story is, first of all, for yourself, recognize that the brain can have issues. Now, I know that there is a jump now in our society when kids are struggling and they're not coping well. There seems to be a kind of a quick react. Well, let's medicate, let's do this or whatever. And I don't necessarily agree with that. But I do think it's important to be aware of what your children are saying. I think it's important to be aware of what you're feeling. And I think it's important to, this is probably the most important thing I can say, is if it's something that you're struggling with handling, that it's leading to destructive behavior or thoughts, or it's affecting your ability to function at work, to function in class, to function around people, then you are in a situation where you need outside help. Now, that outside help doesn't have to be medication. It can be just talking about it. It may be a situation where it's the circumstances that you're facing at that particular moment. We know that there can be a situational type depression, and you're depressed not because of a chemical imbalance, but because of the circumstances in your life. Getting outside help can still really help in this circumstance. I remember feeling as a parent that I should be able to handle parenting on my own, and looking for help outside, that was a weakness. I've totally changed my opinion on this. And I believe that getting outside help sooner than later is a strength. Why not take advantage of the resources that we have in our life? I regret and I lament the fact that it took me 47, 48 years to figure out what's going on in my brain. And I can tell you that the next however many years that I'm allowed to be on this earth will be so much different because I have recognized and know how to cope with an issue that I have faced my entire life. What a revelation. So please, if you find yourself in this circumstance, if it's getting too hard, if it's affecting your productivity, affecting your life, please, please seek outside help. It can change the world. It can change your perspective. It can change everything. And that's why I feel it's so important to share my experiences with you. And I hope that it will help. Oftentimes my wife says, you know, J-Mac, you share too much. Well, I think that in our society, we don't share enough. And I think what happens is we end up feeling like we're struggling alone. And the last thing I want anybody to feel is that you need to struggle alone. You don't. There are people in this world who are poised to help you. And this first step is actually saying something. And if I hadn't said something, if I hadn't spoke up, I would still be dealing with those issues. Now, I don't want to lie to you. It's still very difficult for me to approach somebody who I don't know. I still experience many of those symptoms. But because I know what's happening, I'm able to overcome it. So I don't know if there will ever be a place in my life when I don't feel those things, when that's happening. But I do know, and I have a perfect faith in this, that I will be able to overcome it because I know what it is and I've learned how to deal with it.
Thanks for listening to the JMAC podcast. If you'd like to donate to JMAC for Congress, you can go to jmacforutah.com. That's jmacforutah.com.